If you don't mind standing with me, I think over the next couple weeks we'll be looking at, or next month or so we'll be looking at 1 Corinthians, but I think over the next couple weeks, especially in this first chapter of this letter that Paul writes, I believe it's incredibly important for what we see going on in our country and during this time to read these words of God. I think these words of God can do something to us to help even in ourselves with what's happening during this time. So read with me, starting in 1 Corinthians 1, verses 1 through 9. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be his holy people, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge. God thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will always keep you firm to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Father, we pray in this moment that your Holy Spirit work in us. We pray, Lord, our minds and our hearts are open. Open for your Spirit to do what your Spirit does in us, to form in us, shape in us, and transform us more into your image. Lord, we are mindful of those around us who are still struggling, who are sick, and Lord, we pray for healing for them. We ask that you be with the Weatherall's friend and the Adams family at the loss of their father, and we pray your comfort upon them. And Lord, we just pray for peace in this moment. Lord, we pray for a peace that passes all understanding in our country right now. We pray for peace in hearts and minds. And Lord, we pray that your Spirit does what your Spirit does in us. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. And on October 8, 1956, a date which will actually live in baseball history, is the day that Don Larsen took the mound for the New York Yankees against the Brooklyn Dodgers, and it would be the day that Don Larsen would throw the one and only perfect game in World Series history at that point. And perfect games are interesting in baseball because they are few and far between. There's actually, to this point, only been 23 perfect games. If you think about all the many games that have been played in baseball up until this point, 23 of them have been perfect. If you've watched any part of the Texas Rangers at any part of your life, you know there's nothing perfect about that team. And we're used to watching imperfect baseball, except for a couple years when they made the World Series. But 23 of the hundreds of thousands of games that have been played have been perfect. Perfection is kind of an interesting word when we think about it. It brings up certain images in our mind, and we as people, as humans, people of a greater society, always talk about this idea of being perfect. We want to try to be perfect. But yet perfection is such a difficult thing to come by. And now I want you to think about a community that is made up of all kinds of different people. And just a few weeks ago, this community started coming together. They started coming together with each other, most who they would never have been caught with in public before then. But now they find themselves with these people. They find themselves doing life every day with these people. And they find that they're together because of the message of a Jewish man. The message of a Jewish man, his life, his death, and his resurrection has brought together people who, like I said, a week ago they would never have been with. The thing that binds them are these promises that this Jewish man made. And what they're finding out is that these promises and these words of this Jewish man are not as easy as they thought to live by. That there's some difficulty in living by these words. And first and foremost, what they see is it's difficult because it means doing life together with new faces from different places with different opinions. It means that rich and poor, slave and free, married, unmarried, the hedonistic, the pagan believing, everything in between will now be coming together based on these words, based on the life of this Jewish man. And on top of that, every day as they get up to do life, they walk around an empire that is bombarding them and overwhelming them. They walk through the markets. They walk by the temples. And it's not just one temple. We're talking about Rome. It's a temple on every corner. We talk about churches on every corner, right, in Texas? Well, in Rome, it was a temple on every corner to every god that Rome has decided to bring into the fold. And as every morning they wake up, they go through all of this. They see the sights. They see the sounds. They have the smells of the Roman Empire all around them. So think about that as they're trying to figure out what it looks like to live life in the words of this Jewish man, in the way that this Jewish man has told them to live, that they truly believe is different than anything else, with a bunch of people who they wouldn't have been caught dead with a week ago. And yet they are trying to do it. They're trying to attempt to do life together. I mean, if we really probably looked at that group in Corinth, we would think it might have been, if anybody's seen the movie, it was the Bad News Bears. Hopefully they can do it. And so for the next few weeks and a month, maybe, we're going to look at this letter that Paul wrote to the church in Corinth. A church he wrote to in about 53 or 55 AD, somewhere in that era. But what's interesting about this letter, and why I think it's important to us, is it's written to a church who's trying to understand what it looks like to do life together when you are surrounded by an empire. When you are surrounded by an empire that is contradictory to everything that you now believe, which everything that you hold dear. The Corinth church is trying to understand what it looks like to be together and not like Rome, which you've got to admit is probably hard for a small group of people. For a small group of people in a very big city, living in a very different way, and they're looking around all of them and saying, how do we do this? And probably looking around this and saying, we're small, it's big, there's absolutely nothing we can do. I mean, we're going to try to do this, but I'm sure there are people better than us to be able to do this. And yet we read this letter from Paul, who is trying to give encouragement and even says, I am thankful for you. In the midst of the Corinthians' questions, and we're going to see there's many, in the midst of the Corinthians' doubts, and we're going to see there's many, Paul tells them at the outset, here's what I want you to know. I am thankful for you. Paul tells this group, we see in that second verse, to the church of God in Corinth, to those, see these words, sanctified in Jesus Christ and called to be his holy people, together with those everywhere. Paul tells this group that they are not a community that was formed on some whims and desires, that they were not a community that was formed in their own image, which would be easy to think when you put a bunch of human beings together. We always want to think that the community that we're in would be best if it looked just like us. No, what Paul says is somewhat shocking to their ears. What Paul says is this community has been called apart, has been sanctified. This community has been called. And whether they believe it or not, or whether we believe it or not, because sometimes when we read the words of Scripture, when we read these letters from Paul, when we read the Corinthians, first and second letters, we think that Paul's speaking to a different time and a different place with different people. But notice what Paul says here. This community coming together at Corinth, and just like those everywhere, did you catch that in verse 2? Those everywhere, none of this was by accident. The church in Corinth and the group coming together in Corinth did not come together by accident. It came together by a calling from God. So therefore, if we kind of push this out a little bit further, as Paul says in verse 2, then the church that meets at Grapevine did not come together by some accident. Folks, is good news. That we were called, like the Corinthian church, by Jesus Christ to be the church in Grapevine in this moment and in this time. Think about that for a minute. That we have come together not by some accident. All of us who are sitting here watching online, and when we were coming back together and we'd be together, we were called. It was not by desires, it was not by whim, but it was by the power of the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ in God that we would come together in this spot, all people, different opinions, who look different, to be the sanctified body in this area. These are Paul's words, not mine. These are Paul's words, that Paul's words can speak through time and place, not just to the Corinthians, but to us as well. And so Paul is saying, you are not some kind of, as I read the other day, you are not some kind of spiritual free agents looking for the best offer on how to live together. We're not looking for like which mission would be best for us. Paul says, you have the mission. You're not free agents. In fact, you've been bought by the blood of Christ. This is who you are. We are together as part of a larger story of the gospel. Together, God is writing the story. God is still writing the story. And here's what Paul says. God is using us today to write the story. You are called. You are sanctified by God. Grapevine is not an accident. Grapevine is in the theme of what I have in my sermon, the perfect misfits. God is not done with our communities. God is not done with the life of those who are around you, the lives of those in your neighborhood. God is not through with our town. God is not through with our state. God is not through with our country. And go to a bigger, God is not through with our world. And here's what Paul says. God is using you today, this church, this group, whether you look around and go, really, us? And Paul says, yes, really you, to do something in this world in the name of Jesus. Now, as I was writing this, and as you read this, and as you think about what Paul is saying in these first few verses, and I think a lot of times when we read the first few verses of Paul and his kind of introduction, we kind of just try to glaze over it and move past it and get to the real stuff, which we'll get to next week. But we try to just blow past the introduction. But if we really read what Paul is saying just in the first three verses, all I could think of was Marty McFly from Back to the Future. When Marty McFly would look at the doc and say, man, this is all real heavy. This is real heavy what Paul is calling us to. What Paul is calling us to is this. Paul is saying, you will not be perfect. Notice in here, there's nothing about perfection in here. Did you notice that? Paul didn't say you're perfect. Paul said you've been called. Paul said we've been sanctified. Paul said that we're going to get through this. And how are we going to get through this? How am I going to get along with the people around me, Paul? The people I didn't think I was going to be with. How am I going to get through this when I make a mistake? And we will make mistakes. We do make mistakes. How am I going to do this, Paul, to realize? And Paul says, well, I'll tell you. Let's go to the next verse. Let's look at verse 3. Paul says, it's going to be through grace and peace. Paul's normal introduction, Paul says, it's going to be grace and peace. Grace will be the seasoning of every word and deed by this community when we are together with one another. Our community is nowhere near perfect, and I think we can all attest to that. We're all trying to figure it out. The people of Corinth were trying to figure it out each and every day what it would be like to be a community of God in the Roman Empire, when the Roman Empire is trying to seduce them in every way to be like it. And just like as we live in the world around us, our country around us, the things that go on inside of that from time to time try to seduce us to be something other than what Paul is saying. Called by God, sanctified, you are sanctified by Christ. We're just trying to figure it out. And Paul says, here's where it's going to start with. It's going to start with you giving grace, not just grace to yourself, but grace to the people around you. Because what Paul is hoping is that the church, he's telling the church, he's telling us that you're going to be a signpost to heaven. You're going to be a signpost to the neighborhood of what heaven can look like. And you're not going to be alone in this. You're never going to be alone in this. Paul says, I'm going to give you each other. I'm going to give you each other to do the work of God. And so then in verse 4, Paul can say this. My favorite words in Corinthians, pretty besides what we'll read in verse 18 in chapter 1, is this: I always thank my God for who? For you. Because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. In the midst of everything going on in Corinth, which we'll see, and Paul's going to admonish them, and Paul's going to get on to them, and Paul's going to try to correct them and steer the ship right. In the midst of all of that, as Paul's getting ready to write all of that, Paul can still say this: I give thanks. I thank God for you. And it's inside of that thankfulness, it's inside of that thankfulness that we can turn to one another and we can offer grace and peace to each other. We can look at each other and realize that I am called by God and you are called by God, and we're in this together. Even though you and I may not always agree on things, even though you and I have differences of opinion, even though you and I may have gotten in a fight yesterday, Paul says, I know that's going to happen, but I'm still thankful for you, because what I see in you is a person in a community called by God. Therefore, grace and peace. And that's when we have to realize that in the midst of all of this, in the midst of our imperfections, and in the midst of the warts that we all carry, in the midst of our misgivings, in the midst of our mistakes, in the midst of our rants and our biases and whatever else, God's grace is still poured on us to be a witness of love to all those around us. Paul is thankful for those who come together as a community attempting to live out this reality of Christ in the world. Notice what Paul says. What we see is Paul not telling the people in Corinth and not telling us that he is thankful for them when they get it all right. Did you catch that? He didn't say, I thank God for you in a couple of years when you finally realize what it means to be a community of Christ. Paul didn't say that. Paul says, I am thankful in this moment, with all your warts and with all your mistakes and with all your misgivings. Paul says, even in the midst of that, I see perfection, because what I see is Christ. Paul does not say when you get all the warts removed, you know, when you get rid of that person and that person. We've said that before. I know I have. You know what? If only this person would leave the church, then everything would be a lot better. Paul didn't say any of that, and nor should we. Paul says, I'm thankful for you with all the people in it, with all the mistakes. You remember when he writes to the church in Philippi, and you remember that? You've got two issues. You've got two women who are fighting when you finally get to it, and he doesn't tell to kick them out. What does he say? Hey, it is my hope that this grace is finally poured out, and Euodia and Syntyche will get it together. He doesn't say kick them out. He says, I'm still thankful for you, church in Philippi, even with the issues that you have. And let's be honest today, we can all use a little bit of grace. We can all use a little bit of peace in our community. We can all use a little bit of that, because what Paul is saying in verse 5 is this. He's saying that you are to be, that we are to be, if we realize this, if we realize the mistakes that we're a part of, if we realize that we're not going to be perfect, but that God has called us all together, then what it might be able to do to us is this, and this is the hard one, it might be able to humble us just a little bit. Humble us just a little bit when we talk to each other in this community. Humble us just a little bit when we talk to others outside the community. Maybe we'll be a little bit more humble when we realize that even in our mistakes, the one who created us still loves us and still calls us to do good and still calls us to be his light to the world. That instead of who we think we are, that we begin to be humbled and realize that we are a grace-filled, redemptive body, a body that can lean so much into the trust that God loves us and that God gives us grace and that God's grace is living and active and working inside of us, that all we do is offer gratitude for our life, that we offer gratitude for each other. Therefore, you're not going to lack in any spiritual gift, is what Paul says. Now, here's the thing. I don't know about you, but I've grown up pretty much my entire life in the church. I mean, I've grown up my entire life in the church. I can't remember a lot of days in which I wasn't there Sunday night. I was there on Sunday night. Yes, you remember Sunday nights back in the day. Sunday night, Wednesday nights, I was there. I grew up in this church. My life was intertwined with this church. My life was intertwined with church, and at some point, I'm not sure that was completely healthy for me. And before you say, hey, you should go to church all the time, and I agree, this is why I say it wasn't healthy, because a lot of times with this intertwining of my life and church, I began to form certain opinions about the church. I began to form certain opinions about people at the church. And I began to think that I could fix the church better than someone else could fix the church. And if people would just listen to me, then I can make the church better. Now, do we see what the problem with that is? When I believe that I can fix it above you, then I'm not going to listen to your opinions. I'm not going to be grace-filled to you. I'm not going to see you as someone, as Paul says, called by God as much as I am. I seem to see that my calling is more important than your calling. So why don't you listen to me? Probably had the same conversations. You probably had the same kind of, you know, pull people to the side and say, hey, I don't know if you know about so-and-so, but if we could find a way to just get them out. There's no thankfulness in that conversation. There's no grace in those conversations. There's no peace in those conversations. And that's when it started dawning on me as I read this, is to realize not only that the Corinthian church has warts, because we like to read the church of Corinthian, and we want to point the finger at them and say, at least we're not doing that. At least we're not like that. And what we do is we miss all of our imperfections and warts. But here's what I'm going to say. Even Grapevine has some issues. We have our warts. We have our problems, and you know what? It's okay. It's okay. We're not going to be perfect. We're not supposed to be perfect. And it's easy a lot of times to get focused on the imperfections and miss the people sitting right next to us. Have you ever noticed that? We get so focused on the negative and so focused on what we're doing wrong and so focused on what we can change, on what we should change, that we miss the people in the lives next to us, which I think is what Paul's really calling us to together, to say, you're missing the point that together, if you'll listen to the person next to you, together is the force to change the world. Together is the force to hear the Holy Spirit in its fullness, in all the things going on in life. And I was reminded of this quote from Dietrich Bonhoeffer as we close. He says this, "The more clearly we learn to recognize that the ground and strength and promise of all of our fellowship is in Christ Jesus alone, the more serenely shall we think of our fellowship and pray and hope for it." And so as Paul starts out with this vision, Paul says, "I give thanks for you, because I realize who called you and the power that's living inside of you. And I want you to realize that same power. That together you can be a force in Grapevine, in your neighborhoods. That together you are not built by an accident. That God had a purpose to put you in here today with all these other people, with all these different opinions. And so then I can say, I give thanks for you. I give thanks for the Grapevine community and all the stories that we share together. I am thankful that we come together with the different voices to live the best life that we can live with one another. I'm thankful today for each of you, for what you've done for me, and I pray for what I can do for you. And today I will ask your forgiveness. When I have from time to time gone in back rooms and said words I shouldn't. Because what Paul tells us is that's not how the community is built. The community is built when we can humble ourselves to realize the grace that God has given us. And then as we humble ourselves, and I can look to the person next to me, even who I might disagree with, I can look to the people all around this room and say, I am called, you are called. We are not a mistake, but we have a purpose. Let's get busy. And maybe we can just in 2021 be that force together. If you have any needs this morning, if you have any concerns, I know George always will be down front. The elders will be down front waiting for you, but come now as we stand and as we sing.